Lodging Editor Kate Hughes. Thank you for listening to Lodging On Demand. Today we are joined by Ali El-Bassouni, America's COO of Radisson Hotels, and John Russell, Interim CEO of RLH Corp, for a town hall. Ali and John answered some of the questions weighing on lodging readers' minds during the COVID-19 crisis. Both of you, thank you so much for participating in Lodging's first, hopefully of many, town halls. We've basically put the word out on social channels and through our Daily Ease newsletter asking readers to submit questions. So that's where many of these came from, either questions submitted by readers or based on questions submitted by readers. So we're just really happy to have the brand perspective in all of this because you guys are the major movers and shakers and you're feeling this just as hard as everyone else. So we'll just jump right in. So hoteliers are juggling a lot right now, loan applications, staffing, cleanliness. What should their top priority be at the moment as a result of this pandemic? Ali, do you want to start?
Yes. Thanks, Kate, for having me. And you know, my team and I are in frequent contact with a lot of franchise owners. There's certainly a lot on their mind right now, on the minds of owners. You know, you read the headlines, you know, the impact to our business is extraordinary and unprecedented with occupancy levels, the impact, particularly as you compare it to prior down cycles, whether it's 9/11 or the Great Recession. And so, you know, with all that being said, though, first and foremost, it's, you know, that they stay safe and well, and the well-being and health and safety of their families, their team members, guests, and, you know, the sense I get from franchise owners that that's the primary importance right now. And then, of course, there's the business. You know, the common theme right now is that they're working with their support network, and that includes their brands, their lenders, vendors, again, their teams, customers, et cetera. You know, as an industry, you have to be optimistic. We will rebound from this. It may not be immediate or as quick as we would like, but we will get back to some semblance of normal. Early on, you know, my gut tells me that normal and what that normal is may be a little bit different from what we're accustomed to. There will definitely be an altered or new way of doing business based on consumer expectations or perceptions, or perhaps new, you know, regulations or guidelines that are pushed down at the state or federal level. So hotel owners will have to and will want to be ready for that and set their expectations accordingly.
And John, what do you think? Where should franchisees have their focus right now?
Well, right now it's about survivability. We need to help them help themselves preserve cash. So liquidity is very important. I know the PPI program and the EIDL programs, a lot of them applied for. So, you know, we want to be sure that they can stay in business and survive another day. So that's important to them. I also agree with Ali that of prime importance to them is the cleanliness and safety of the properties, their employees, and the guests that they are serving. Because in our case, you know, we've got about 1,060 hotels, all franchised, and a lot of them are in a select service market that are off the interstates, and they're in secondary and tertiary cities. So they're actually open for business for essential workers and truck drivers and frontline workers. So I know what's on their mind is making sure that their properties are adequately secured, have adequate procedures in place for you know, to combat the COVID-19, whether it's plexiglass at the front desk between them and the guest, whether it's using credit card terminals instead of the PMS swipes, making face masks and gloves available to the guests and employees. You know, booking consumers in every other room versus right next to each other, things of that nature. So right now, I think in addition to the loan applications, which are very have been critical, in addition to what the brands, I know Radisson's done a lot of great things with for their franchisees, as we are too, But I think now, you know, got to remember, we're still in business. People are still staying in a lot of our hotels, and we're fortunate that only about 4.5% of our hotels closed temporarily, about 43 to be exact, and they'll reopen. But I think right now it's the servicing the guest in the new normal, and also keeping their employees safe and sound.
John, you touched on this, but I want to go a little further down this path. Some hotels have had to close, and all hopefully temporarily. But if that has to happen, what steps should they be taking? And how do you, as the franchisor, help them through that process?
Yeah, we have, as I'm sure Ali does too, we have our biggest point of contact with the franchise owner is our franchise service managers, you know, who represent anywhere from 50 to 75 hotels. That's their first point of contact. When they're thinking about shutting down the hotel, they should immediately call the franchise service manager, say, I'm thinking about closing the hotel down for these reasons. We have checklists that we go through with them to help them in the closure process, you know, whether it's notifying customers or in case of group business that they are closing, here's how to go do it, and to make sure that the proper communications to the guests, the community, and city services are adhered to. So we have a process that we can help them with, and it seems so far to have worked. And I, as I said before, in a positive note, almost in all cases, it looks like the vast majority will be back. The ones that have closed will be back on a temporary basis, or on a probably around June 1 or thereabouts.
And Ali, how about at Radisson? How are you helping the franchisees that need to close their doors right now? And how are you helping them figure out the steps they need to take?
You know, there's a lot to consider. And, you know, frankly, it's a guideline or SOP that we never thought we needed to write. Like John, you know, we do have some hotels closed. Globally for us, that number is almost 350 hotels, 81 here in the Americas. And similarly, you know, from our perspective, hotels are advised to notify their regional director. You know, it all begins with this group. They're extremely talented and extremely important for us. We carry about the same ratio, about 45 hotels to each of our RDs. And, you know, my philosophy with this group is that they are CEOs or COOs of their, or both of their region. You know, from there, we have multiple work streams to support a hotel in the closure process, whether commercially, guest experientially, et cetera. And, you know, one of the things we tap into is we have our own managed portfolio of properties. So as we develop, you know, these comprehensive SOPs or outlines, we do make them available as a resource to our franchise hotels. You know, we put out guidelines that may range from locking down a room that may have been exposed to COVID-19 to an entire floor to potentially the whole operation. And, you know, for a full closure, Kate, communication is key with staff, with guests. You know, it begins with our department heads and on-property leadership. You know, once a hotel is vacated, we found that in our managed portfolio, engineering and security is critical to ensure that we have the right shutoffs, appliances, gas, water, and that's being managed appropriately during a shutdown, securing inventory, valuables. Another consideration I think John touched on is, you know, local authorities, police and fire departments need to be notified. And so we have that comprehensive checklist and recommended guidelines that we've placed on a dedicated COVID-19 page on our company portal available to all of our franchisees to access.
On the other side of that coin, what can franchisees do to help keep themselves afloat? And how can they work with you as the franchisor to stay in business and stay open as long as possible? Ali, if you want to keep going.
Yeah, sure. Happy to jump in. Well, you know, I mentioned our regional directors. They are the primary point of contact and support. You know, we've been hosting webinars and working with owners to provide crisis response resources. So the virtual environment and leveraging that technology has been very important for us. We've also offered and have innovated to more online platforms to offer things like training. We have our new owner, new GM, new sales leader certification training that we've moved to an online platform, and probably will carry that through the balance of this year. We plan to continue throughout the year and also offer other virtual and technology-based experiences for our franchise owners, like our regional meetings. We typically use that platform in the early fall to set the stage for the upcoming year, training on specific things, focusing on important and strategic value drivers for our business. But of course, to your point, Kate, between now and then, there are areas where we could be supporting our owners with cost-saving measures, cost forbearance measures. We've put out about 21 to 25 of those over the last couple of months. You know, particularly in times where demand is extremely low, hotel occupancies and revenues at an unprecedented low, owners look to the brands for that relief. And so, to name a couple of those, we've delayed renovation requirements, PIP requirements, new standard implementation. We've paused all quality assurance audits through the balance of the year. We've worked with vendors like Oracle and ReviewPro on fee deferrals, and have also offered deferrals on our own fee stream where owners need it and have found value in it. And so this last thing I'll say is, in addition to the 21 measures that we've rolled out, we've been focusing on capturing or channeling business where there is demand and where the demand remains. So we're working with hotels on revenue management best practices, leveraging our global sales platforms, and driving revenue where we can.
John, is there anything you'd like to add about how franchisees could work with you to keep their hotels in better shape while this blows through?
Allie, we have 22 measures, not 21. No, only kidding. we have a lot of the similar ways forward for our franchisees. I think the key thing that Allie also touched on is communications. We literally are communicating daily, and myself included, making calls to franchisees, taking their pulse, their temperature, making sure that, you know, we're answering the needs where we can. And, you know, to that end, we've got an all-brand owners call on Thursday with all of our franchise owners to just kind of give a update of what happened pre-COVID, during COVID, and hopefully post-COVID. We also, like Allie, we've offered some programs to help with cash flow with the franchisees. You know, we have a three-month deferral program for April, May, June that they take advantage of for their royalty and marketing, and it's paid back over a nine-month period. We've also got about six other fee relief kind of initiatives. We do have a property improvement, pause program, as well as the quality assurance pausing as well for a while, and at least through June 30. So a lot of the same things that Allie mentioned, we're trying to help because, again, cash is king at this time for our owners. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that there's so many great things that AHLA and AHOA and the National Restaurant Association have put out on best practices, you know, how to, if you have a restaurant, here's what you consider doing with seating, order taking, picking up your orders, even how to set your tables, and also best practices in the hotels for check-in, check-out, housekeeping. So what we've done is we have something called Redline Hotel University, and we have tried to accumulate or assimilate all of these best practices. And we have guidelines in all of the functional and operational areas that's readily available to our owners and our general managers. And that was something that we had ongoing, but with COVID, it accelerated greatly. But again, hats off to AHOA and to AHLA and NRA because, you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We just want to make sure they see all the spokes in the wheel. So that's something we've done with them. And that goes through housekeeping, front office, back of the house, how to do the new norm for banquets and catering, room service, and the like. So a lot of the same things, or a lot of the same focus, I'm sure that Ali and a lot of our friendly competitors do as well.
So my next question, I know you guys don't have a crystal ball, but I would love to get your take on when will things start to rebound and what the recovery is going to look like, because you've both alluded to this, saying that there are going to be changes in the industry. So it's not as though we're looking for things to look exactly the way they did back in January. So Ali, do you want to start? Talk about what you think will be the signs of rebound?
My sense is leisure business will rebound before business. When you look at the past cycles, the primary markets tended to rebound, gateway cities. And I wonder if any recovery may happen in the reverse this go around. You know, maybe road trips instead of flights may come back first. Perhaps those secondary and tertiary markets and localized destinations may begin to see that early uptick. You know, this summer will obviously be very telling, as we're on the eve of the peak travel season here, what's supposed to be anyway. We're tracking, you know, the next 90 days, and you know, the early summer pace across the industry right now is relatively soft, but there may be pent up demand in the latter part of the summer as stay at home orders are lifted and people feel confident traveling again. You know, John mentioned AH and LA. You know, consumer confidence is going to be key. I participated in the AH and LA Stay Safe Advisory Council yesterday, and where every major hotel company was represented, you know, it became very clear exactly what John just said, is that we're all really working on the same things. And that is, how do we ramp back up and how do we do it safely in this hopefully soon to be post-COVID world? The guest experience in key areas of the building and the hotel, the facility, is going to be key and is very important. Everything from the lobby to the reception, front desk, elevators, corridors, obviously the guest rooms, but also food and beverage. And that may mean anything from a free, you know, breakfast at our Country Inn and Suites to a full-on restaurant to the meeting and event space in, say, our Radisson Blues. So we're looking at those SOPs and those guidelines very closely for our managed portfolio. We're looking to have those finalized in the next 10 days. We have a small work stream of owners that we're bouncing a lot of these ideas and thoughts with. You know, John mentioned AHOA. We have invited a member of AHOA to join that call this week so that they're giving us their perspective. And it's a collaborative effort, and I, you know, we're really seeing the industry come together in a very strong way in response to this, recovery and the path to, you know, a better future for all of us. And ultimately, training, communication, and the resources we put out as brand leaders is going to be very important.
And John, what do you think the rebound is going to look like for the industry?
Yeah, I think it's going to come in phases. And, you know, even though we can't predict what the precise path of this pandemic is, but I can tell you that the resiliency of our industry is good, and it will be good. I think drive traffic comes back almost, people are going to feel more comfortable and secure in their cars. So I think you're going to see, and with gas being at the low prices it is now, I think you're going to see a tremendous influx of travel by car to visit family and friends, national parks. So your leisure will pick up. I think this is very beneficial for secondary, tertiary cities. I think it's beneficial for interstates. I think it's, beneficial for some of the select service brands and some of the mid-service type brands. I think that, as Ali said, I do think that the business travel, transient travel, will come back, not as quick as the leisure travel. I think government travel will come back same way. I think it's going to be a long haul for corporate meetings and conventions and groups. When it does come back, and that will be the last to come back, unfortunately, because one of you know, it takes a longer booking period for those kind of meetings, but also the way it's going to look will be a lot different, you know, in, for your banquets and for catering events, exhibits, with all the social distancing and the precautionary steps you got to take. So it's going to look an awful lot different than it does today, particularly in the group areas. And as I mentioned before, I think the way we the buffets will probably be a thing of the past. I think you're going to have a lot of prepackaged type of offerings for breakfast that a lot of our brands offer now for free. So that's all going to look a little bit different. And, you know, what it'll look like in May may not look what it's going to look like in January of next year. But I do think it will come back, leisure first, business second, and group and convention lastly. And I think that, you know, like I say, it's going to be phased in, and I think it's going to evolve. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but with, you know, we're very, again, I agree with Ali. This is the one time, one of the few times I've seen the industry really work together to face a problem collectively. Listen, we're all in the hospitality business. You know, we serve guests, we serve our owners and our shareholders. So this is the just like after 9/11, the people, everybody came together. After 2008, everybody came together. Well, this is even greater. This is probably once in a lifetime type of thing you'll ever see, when something that we can't control, we can only try to mitigate for now until a vaccine is found. But I'm very bullish on us coming back. It's not going to be like a flip of a switch, but it's going to be, the electricity will be on.
You actually just brought up another question, which is, as things start to come back online, how can hoteliers be sure that they're doing that safely and keeping things clean the way they need to be clean? Because like you said, things are going to change. There might need to be plexiglass up at the check-in desk, and people are going to be cleaning things more frequently. So, Ali, how can hotels be sure that they're safe as they're coming back online and getting ready to handle an influx of people after this is over?
Well, and that's a lot of what we're working on today as an industry, to make sure that, and I'm assuming, Kate, you mean from completely closed to open in the event,
yes,
that hotels have shut down due to occupancy or COVID-19. You know, first of all, it's not an on and off switch. I mean, reopening involves, you know, ramping back up again, you know, really. And that really begins with staffing. I was just having a conversation with our teams this morning, particularly in our managed portfolio, about that notification process and in some cases activating employees again. And that can't be, you know, underestimated. Then there's getting the hotel ready to receive guests again. And that's the physical, you know, attributes from a cleanliness perspective. Purchasing an inventory is going to be important. The building mechanicals and those notifications of utilities and authorities that I discussed earlier, you know, operating under the new guidelines and procedures, whether it is provided by the brands or whether it's mandated or improvised given COVID-19. You know, as operators, we have to reconnect with key accounts and customers. We have to begin to channel the demand as it comes back. So channel and revenue management is going to be very important. But specifically, you know, safety and security, ultimately, again, in the context of this pandemic, it's about cleanliness and sanitation. And so we're working with HNLA, working with our partners, across the industry. And as brands, we'll be putting out those guidelines and resources and support. I imagine it will involve continued social distancing. It'll involve PPE, so the personal protective equipment. Does that become part of our, at least in the short term, part of our operating guidelines? The training that we'll make available to help support our hotels, I think, will be critical. Not necessarily in our space, and certainly not in this part of the world, but, you know, one of the questions I had for our teams recently was, do temperature checks become part of our operating norms? and think about how crazy that is. But who knows? I'm certainly hopeful that it doesn't. And so those are all the things that we're considering as we, begin to get back to capacity again.
I would love to close out with how you think this is going to permanently affect the industry. Because I've talked to so many people who have said the industry is going to look different when we come out on the other side of this. So, John, do you think anything fundamental about hospitality is going to change? Or is there one thing in particular that you think is no longer going to be an SOP or anything like that?
Well, this is a dynamic, not a static situation. We're going to be changing, like I said before, what we think is right today, and we're all trying to get to the safety and security and cleanliness for our guests and our employees, because that's paramount. I do think that we will consider anything, but we can't do everything. The most important thing right now as we've both been talking about, is we got to ensure that that across the board we share information, and that we really what used to be a brand standard in the past, 55 screen inch TV, so many amenities in the bathroom. This is going to kind of go by the wayside. I won't say go by the wayside, but it's going to be mitigated by the need for the cleanliness and the security and safety of our guests and employees. So I think you're going to see some things that will be new brand standards as it relates to that. Yes, there'll be a lot of guidelines, but there will be actual brand standards as it relates to all operating departments. Even now in Denver, for instance, we've got – our restaurants will open up in probably 3 weeks. And I'm not talking about necessarily hotel restaurants, but it will apply. I mean, right now, two-thirds of the, almost 60% of the restaurant seats will be removed from the restaurants. They won't, the bars will be either shut down or there'll be every fourth seat. There'll be things like you don't have a hostess. You go up and you order and you go back and stand in another place to receive your order, and you take your food back to your table. There will be standards for outside seating. So that's just an example of things we have to consider all throughout every touch point in the hotel, even for, and Radisson does a good job of this, for checking in and checking out. Everything, if they can be mobile, it'll be mobile. You'll check in on your phone. You'll go to your room on your phone, you'll check out on your phone, where you don't come in as much contact with folks. So those things, quite frankly, a lot of those things will remain because, we are in the age of technology. We're using technology as a resource. So I think a lot of those things will be sped up on, those type of things of check in, check out, even housekeeping, for instance. There's a lot of guidelines that are out there, but what is the exact way to clean a room? I mean, does the guest even put their sheets in a linen bag and they'll leave it at the door? I mean, these are considerations being discussed now, but all these things will change. Will it change permanently? I think a lot of them will change permanently, and that's be the new way of servicing our guests and protecting our employees. So it's we don't have a crystal ball, but what we're all trying to do is saying, if Radisson's got a great idea, I'm going to steal it. If Wyndham has a great idea, I'm going to steal it. AHLA and AHLA, what Allie mentioned is we don't want the government to tell us what to do. We'd rather have our professionals get together and tell them what we think we should do so that it's not mandated by the government. That being said, however, we really need to be careful or cognizant that there will be federal, state, city, or county and city kind of guidelines, as well as CDC and the World Health Organization. So we as franchisors and hotel companies, we really need to help our owners and their employees understand what needs to be done and help them do it.
Ollie, what about you? Is there anything that you think is going to change permanently as a result of this?
You know, Kate, long term, it is anybody's guess. You know, if this virus is contained with maybe a vaccine, a treatment, or public health measure that places this behind us in the short term, I see the potential for, you know, a return to normalcy. But I do agree with John in the short term. I certainly agree there's going to be a lot of change. You know, we all learned so much and continue to learn from this experience. As I mentioned, we're writing, creating guidelines, SOPs, you know, for things we've never encountered before and never really thought we would have to get into. My hope is that in the long term, that the industry is learns from it, is back in a strong way, and that the lasting impacts have a positive, you know, or translate positively, I should say, to the guest experience. Some of the things that John outlined, while, you know, are short-term measures we have to do, my hope is that we're not sitting every fourth seat for the foreseeable future and that we can resume normalcy at some point. But who knows? There are some things that, you know, that may become, you know, a permanent fixture in our operating philosophy. And I don't know, is the hand sanitizer now part of the guest room amenity kit? You know, again, who knows? But in the short term, we are all working together to put out guidelines to get our owners, our properties, our hotels through this crisis.
Well, guys, thank you both so much for making time today, and stay well.
Thanks, Kate. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. We're planning more of these town halls, so if you have a pressing question for hotel leaders, send it to editor@lodgingmagazine.com. If you want more content like this, please subscribe to our channel. Or you can listen to Lodging on Demand as a podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.